Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine, while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Hi there, and welcome back to our number two of Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, here with Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umeb, and we have David from Olympia on the line. And David, you were mentioning BPH. Yeah. Let's talk about that, Dr. Mixon.
Okay, yeah, BPH, I think we are opening up a whole new world for treatment. You know, in the past, what we would do, we would give men an alpha blocker, or an alpha agonist, rather, that would relax the smooth muscle in the urethra and let them pee better. And that was our treatment.
Okay, that's what BPH is.
Was that the tamsulosin?
That's the tamsulosin, right. But the tamsulosin doesn't make the prostate any smaller. The prostate is still getting bigger and bigger and bigger. All we've done is relax that smooth muscle to try to improve his urination and empty his bladder more efficiently. Eventually, the tamsulosin is less and less effective because the prostate is still getting bigger and bigger and bigger over time. And so the answer thus far has always been surgery. You know, it's just a matter of you had to go in and take out enough of the prostate to shrink it down and take the pressure off that urethra so that the channel was not being compressed anymore. And so we've got a variety of ways of doing that. Everything from the radiologic procedure with the prostatic arterial embolization, in which they basically inject beads into the artery supply, the blood supply of the prostate, and just make it die and wither up and go away. Or they do surgical procedures where they're ripping out part of the urethra as they're carving out the prostate, doing that with a cutting loop, a microwave-generated cutting loop. Or they have things like the Rezūm procedure, in which they inject basically little bursts of steam into the prostate to kill enough prostate tissue to hopefully open up that channel and buy the guy more time. But eventually the prostate continues to grow. And so some sort of surgical intervention ends up being necessary, has always been necessary in the past. I'm kind of fascinated by this new thing that the acoustic wave therapy, that this new device we've got is helping with, in which they're actually now just using acoustic wave impulses or sound shock waves to change the physiology of the prostate. And it sounds as though people are getting several months, and we don't know yet how long. Study showed at least 3 months of improvement. That was the end of the study. They might have gone 4, 6, 8, 10, a year, 2 years. I have no idea. It's a new enough procedure, and we don't really have long-term data on how well it's going to work long-term. But it doesn't involve any surgery. It doesn't involve any systemic drugs. It's very minimal discomfort done in the office in a few minutes to half an hour. Usually going to need 3 to 6 treatments to see results. But then we don't know when you need to be treated again. You know, but I'm really fascinated by guys with your problem to say, hey, you know, this is something we can now offer that's never been offered before. And it's too early to tell if it's going to be a real long-term solution or not. But
right.
I'm fascinated to give it a try on as many men as, you know, want to do it, just so we can see how often do we need to retreat them.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
It'll, of course, never be covered by insurance, no time in the next 10 years, probably.
Well, I don't know. You know, it might, because if it'll save people a $20,000 hospital procedure, yes, the insurance company only pays, you know, 5,000 of that 20, but still, if we can do it in the office for a few thousand, that would be cost effective. So, but we just have to, and, you know, being my 76th birthday is next month. This is one of those things that I pay attention to because I'm going to need it one of these days. Although, interestingly, when I went on the rapamycin, I am suddenly peeing better than I did 10, 20 years ago. So the rapamycin seems to have helped.
Rapamycin.
It's an interesting drug. It's the only drug we have found thus far that significantly extends the lifespan of every animal we've tried it on. Everything from worms to mice to rats to dogs to monkeys to dogs to people, it's extending life and health span, making them stronger, faster, healthier. And you only take your pills once a week, which I think is fascinating. So, yeah, I went on rapamycin. Yep, I went on it a few months ago, and I've just been delighted with my response so far.
Now, medical doctors are not doing this, right, Dr. Mixon? Or are they?
Oh, well, they can.
They can.
I mean,
okay.
It's a prescription. It just takes a prescription to write. But
it's not the standard of care.
It's not the standard of care, and it is mostly being done by doctors that are in longevity medicine. I thought it was fascinating. I went to the Buck Institute last December. And where we had the leading longevity research guys from all over the planet got together for a 3-day conference. And essentially every research doctor there, everybody was using rapamycin.
Wow. Okay.
So
wow, that is great.
It's not approved by the FDA for this use, and insurance doesn't cover it, and most doctors don't write it. But
most doctors don't even know about
it. Most doctors don't even know it exists. But longevity doctors do, and, you know, I'm on it, and my wife is on it. So, and one of these days I'm going to put Samara on it.
There you go.
I got to get her out of her teens first, though.
Yeah.
We're currently seeing an MD who has studied functional medicine, which I hear you talk about functional medicine, I think. And she's very much a naturopathic minded doctor. And I might mention that to her and see what she says.
Well, if she's an
NDE, she probably knows about it.
Yeah, but if she's an ND, she can't write it.
Okay.
It's not on the it's not on the naturopathic physician's approved drug list.
We have medical doctors also at longevity. That's why. Yeah,
so you have to have an MD to write this one.
Yeah, she is an MD.
Okay, well then she could write it for you if she wanted to.
She's an MD who studied functional medicine, and she's very naturopathic. I don't know if she's also an MD, but she is an MD, a medical doctor. So,
all right, that's what we need. Yeah, then she can write it.
All right.
Okay.
Hope that's helpful for you, David.
Thank you. Can I ask one question? You said there will be a swing, a wide swing in the testosterone levels. How does that manifest itself day to day?
Well, it depends. It depends on how sensitive you are emotionally to your blood levels. There are men that can't tell the difference emotionally whether they're high or low. Mm-hmm. And for them, it really doesn't make much difference.
Right.
Okay. I think I'm one of those.
I'm exquisitely sensitive to my testosterone blood level.
Uh-huh.
And so I adjust my level depending on what it is I'm doing and how much help I need. if I am going to, I've got a level where I keep myself most of the time, which is a good, robust center of a 25-year-old.
Is that around 400 or?
No, it's my.
Well, it varies, so.
It does, so it does. But the point, for most of the guys, I'm shooting around 800 or so for the average guy as a test area to start, not 400.
Oh,
I usually
wow.
shoot for around 800. You got to remember, an 18-year-old runs 1,000 to 1,200. So 800
right.
is a mid-20s to 30 range for most guys. Okay, but if I'm going to go down and play with my grandchildren, I let my level drop, and I become soft, roly-poly grandpa. Or if I'm going to be in a business meeting and there's millions of dollars on the table and everybody wants it, I kick my level up and I walk in that room as the alpha male from hell, and I want them to smell the testosterone, roll over, expose their throat, and submit.
My cat does that.
So now that is not
Dr. Mixon walks in the room.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, probably. Would run. Now,
that is not a man I'm going to take home to my wife and daughter.
Right.
There you go.
But the joy of the testosterone cream is the metabolic half-life of testosterone is 75 minutes. So I can get in the shower, wash it off with soap and water, and 75 minutes, an hour and 15 minutes, half of my level is gone.
Hmm.
And 75
oh,
minutes
wow.
later, half of that is gone. So I can drop my levels by 3/4 in 2.5 hours by just washing off the cream. All right?
Uh-huh.
So I can go from the alpha male from hell.
In the boardroom in the morning.
To Bandine's loving husband in the afternoon.
To roly-poly grandpa at night.
So,
yes.
So those of us who are very sensitive have the capacity to alter our testosterone load depending on what it is we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. Very informative.
Oh, all you right. bet, David. Great call.
Take care, sir.
You're tuned in to Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Jerry Mixon here in the studio. I still can't see you as roly-poly grandpa, but alpha male, yes. Dr. Samira Umat here. My name is Lynette, and we're going to take a quick break, and we are back. We're going to talk about the Viasure a little bit more with Dennis, and we have Charlie on the line as well. We'll be right back.
It's another tequila sunrise, staring slowly across the sky.
Medicine, good morning. The Eagles, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon here in the
yes.
studio. Dr. Samira Umat. My name is Lynette, and we enjoy on the air as much as our little breaks that we get in between.
Jerry's just fired up today.
Oh, boy, yes. Give him 20 days off, and he comes back raring to go. So let's get some more callers. We have Dennis from Vancouver on the line. Dennis, thank you for waiting. What can we do?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. How can we help you, Dennis?
Well, you've talked about Viasure in regard to ED. Has any studies been done for, is it beneficial for treating Dupuytren's?
Yes. There are actually...
Peyronie's, you mean?
Peyronie's disease, yeah. Dupuytren's contracture is in the hand.
Right.
I was thinking the Peyronie's,
yeah.
which is a curvature of the
which
penis.
Is what I presume Dennis is asking
yeah.
us, right?
So are you after Dupuytren's contraction of the hand, or are you action of the
yes.
curvature of the penis?
Of the hands.
Of the hand.
Oh.
So it is Dupuytren's contraction.
Okay.
I have not seen a study on it for Dupuytren's.
I haven't either.
So no
pain, yes, for musculoskeletal pain like rotator cuff tendonitis or, you know, tennis elbow and a flare-up of a tendonitis, yes, but not for Dupuytren's contracture.
And for the audience that doesn't understand what Dupuytren's is, it is the tendons in the palm of the hand and the fingers that gets inflamed to the point that it starts contracting and scarring down. And so the fingers get bent, one or more fingers will get bent, and you can't straighten them because the tendons are scarred in place and won't move. And generally, there is physical therapy for that, in which they try to progressively stretch that tendon back out. Depending on how bad the contracture is, it may or may not be effective, but it's worth a try. I see what you're talking about. You know, we do use this to calm down inflamed tendons and ligaments.
Right.
I have not seen a study showing that it improves it. On the other hand, I can come up with a rationale for why it might. But I can't tell you it does. It would just be speculation on my point.
I know, maybe especially in the early stages.
Yeah, if you caught it earlier, you'd have a better shot at it.
Right.
Because that's when the physical therapy is most effective, is if you catch it early.
Yeah.
Well, I've had two surgeries on one hand, one on the other.
Mm.
And so I'm well beyond the early stages. I've got problems with both hands now, and I just don't want to go through surgery again.
No, I understand that. And like I said, you know, it might be something worth trying, but if it was going to try, I'd want to put it in conjunction with a physical therapist that was trying to stretch out and lengthen those contractures manually, in addition to a series of treatments to try to cool it off and relax it. I can't come even close to giving you a guarantee that it would work.
Okay. So, well, the stretching never did work. Yeah, I mean, this has been going on for over 20 years.
Sure.
And surgery takes place, and then other those little nodules show up. And so I'm just stretching, and I've seen advertisements for non-surgical approach.
Yeah.
And that, I think, has to do with injecting ligaments. But
yeah, what they're doing there is they're trying to lay down a corticosteroid along the surface of the ligament. They put the needle in, and they don't want to inject it into the ligament, because injecting the ligament itself will make it weak, and it is subject to breaking. So what they do is they kind of run the needle along the surface of the ligament and lay down a little trail of a fluorinated steroid along the surface, in the hopes that that will decrease the inflammation and give it some stretch back.
Interesting.
There is an article here, Jerry, on shockwave therapy for Dupuytren's contracture.
Uh-huh. Well, see?
Yeah.
I have not seen one, but Samara just found one.
Yeah, 23 patients included in the study. Mean age was 51 years old. Okay. Well, we'll have to read it.
Yeah.
And
why don't you give us time to go over the study and see if there's more than the one. If she's found one, there may be others.
It's published on PubMed.
Okay. And, give us a call next week. Who knows? We might have come up with two or three or four studies by then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a patient there, so I may quiz Dr. Prochaska.
Please do.
Sure.
Okay.
And give him a call and have him do a literature search, because, you know, if she can find them, he can find them.
Right.
You know, I've never looked for them, so.
Right.
All right.
Okay, well, great. All right. Appreciate
call.
It. Yeah, thank you for the call.
Thank you for the call, Dennis. All right. Leading Edge Medicine continues from Buckley. We have Charlie calling on the line. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning, everyone. I have a question about parasites, but the thing is that the last gentleman that was on, you know, I ran a jackhammer for 2 weeks, 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, and, you know, my hands were just like just contracted like fists.
Of course.
Well, I ended up taking and deliberately putting my hands under my pillow nice and flat. That's the only way I could stretch them out, because they were just so constricted. But I'd like to know, maybe with that condition, maybe you could get like a form-fit glove to keep your hands straight while you were sleeping. Yeah. I'm not sure.
There actually are devices that you basically strap it on your forearm across the wrist, and it's got an elevated kind of a pencil sticking out, and they put these elastic bands.
Yeah.
And they pull, the elastic is putting a constant pressure to slowly try to stretch out those contracted ligaments.
Right.
And, you know, that would be something that you could use 24/7, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Your occupational therapist would make those for you.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I'm calling about parasites. I have a friend that has had a bout like almost 3 months now, and she's like 62. She figured she had like pinworms. Now, so she goes to the doctor, and they see the stool sample and all this. And anyway, it's like they don't really know what she has because these pinworms are coming out of her nose, coming out of her ears, coming out of her eyes, and she has this condition. She's using a, you know, special shampoo. Do you guys know if some kind of weird parasite is in our country now, or have you heard of other people having some kind of condition like this?
Nope, I have not.
Right.
Yeah, I can tell you what I would do if you know, she wandered into my family practice back in the good old days, is I'd send her up to the University of Washington to the tropical medicine. The tropical medicine people tend to be the experts, you know, the world-class experts on parasites of all sorts.
I see. Now, is there a place in Tacoma?
I don't know. There must be.
UW has clinics everywhere, but they may send her off to a specialty, you know, in Seattle, but they like can start the process locally.
That's right.
Right. And you know what I mean? I mean, one doctor... The final doctor, now she's going to see a doctor that it's a naturopath, too. She's also a doctor, and yes, she's going to prescribe her some vermectin. And the other thing, I wanted to know why she wouldn't the diatomaceous earth, the food grade. I heard that really gets rid of parasites.
I have no knowledge of it. It's nothing that I've ever dealt with.
Yeah.
So
can I ask you what you call it, rapamycin?
Rapamycin. It was discovered in 2007 on the island of Rapa Nui, which is why it's rapamycin. We the rest of us call the island of Rapa Nui Christmas Island. And it is a very broad-spectrum antibiotic and antifungal agent, but it also has a big impact on the immune system. It's approved by the FDA for use in organ transplants to keep you from rejecting the transplant. So if you need to get a new lung put in or a heart transplant or a kidney, they put you on the rapamycin on a fairly high dose on an everyday basis. But for longevity, to treat aging, it's usually once a week dosing. Although there was a study done by Matt Kaberlein up at University of Washington with dogs in which he did twice a week dosing, very high dose. But in his study, I was fascinated. These were old dogs. And dogs, like people, their cardiac, the heart, doesn't pump as efficiently as you get older. You know, cardiac output declines. And it actually, in only 10 weeks, remodeled the hearts on these dogs so that they were pumping blood more efficiently from their hearts.
Wow, that's cool. I got one other question. On your last show, you mentioned this stuff that you use on your patients. I guess it helps to improve your memory, too. What's that product? Do you remember?
Optimal Memory?
Yeah, Optimal Memory is a supplement that we have designed that we use for our patients that have, you know, cognitive decline with aging.
Well, there was a specific drug or that you mentioned. You were talking to a man.
Well, yeah, It depends, too, you know, what we're treating. For instance, dasatinib and quercetin we use in people that have need to lower their senescent cells. And that combination is actually now being studied by Mayo Clinic. They've got a study on with mild to moderate dementia, seeing if the dasatinib will improve the cognition in these mildly demented patients.
I see. Well, I thank you very, very much, you guys. I know you have more people to talk to. And, of course, I hope you had a very wonderful vacation, Doc.
Well, thank you, but my vacation's over, and this week I'm working.
Yeah, he's back.
All right.
I can tell you're working. You're working overtime. Make up.
Yes, he is. Right. Oh, Charlie, thank you for the call.
There was a new drug approved for dementia last week. We'd mentioned it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we had mentioned that.
That might be what it is. Okay, I'll look in my notes and see if we can talk about that. We have time to talk with you as well. Phone lines are wide open with a half hour left of our show today. And boy, the conversations we've had have been wonderful. Here's the number if you have a question didn't get through last week. 206-644-6006. We'll be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine.
Take it easy, take it easy. Don't let the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy. Lighten up while you still can. Don't even try to understand. Just find a place to make your stand. Take it easy.
Have you ever stood on a corner in Winslow, Arizona?
No.
Yeah.
No, but I like the emotive here. He's standing there on the corner, and a young woman in a flatbed Ford stops to look at him, and he starts saying, you know, that he's going to get him climbing in, you know. But he's standing there, you know, thinking about he's got seven women on his mind, you know. One wants to own me. Four want to own me. Two want to stone me, and one says she's a friend of mine. That's what it is. So four want to own me. Two want to stone me, and one says she's a friend of mine.
He might need some new friends. Yeah.
Well, you know, just thinking back to my remote past when I was an active young stud.
Yeah. He's not an active young stud now.
I'm old, settled, relaxed.
Young stud.
Yeah. My father told me once when he was 89 years old. See, he said, "Jerry, I'm just a hot young stud trapped in the body of an old fart."
So Dr. Mixon grew up to be a hot young stud trapped in the body of a
whatever
hot
I
young
am.
Stud. On that note, let's talk about this dementia medication. We had brought this up, and Dr. Mixon, you probably heard about it, but you've been gone for the last 20 days.
Yeah,
but Dr. Umat was talking about this for
That's
dementia.
Right. And she just looked it up and got the black box warning.
Oh, yeah. Boy. Okay.
So, it was approved while you were on vacation, so we all saw it, and we talked about it briefly. Again, at that time, you know, I was kind of leery because mild cognitive impairment, significant side effects of bleeding, the cost of $26,000, insurance will cover 80%, but still you're left with a few thousand dollars in cost, and IV infusions every 2 weeks. So there's so much more you can do for mild cognitive impairment. And you know, Dr. Dale Bredesen has written about it extensively. You've gone and met with him. And so if that is the issue, then I'd probably start with some of the other things first.
Yes. Well, you know, it's kind of fascinating. If you look at Dr. Bredesen's studies, the one consistent factor in helping he only had 9 patients. But 8 out of the 9 got better. The one that was severely impaired did not. But the one consistent finding was the exercise component. Every one of his eight people who improved took up in a very aggressive exercise program. And it's fascinating to me that the working muscle produces, now we know, more than 300 different growth factors, healing, repair components, alters your immune system, kicks out a series of peptides and enzymes and hormones. Among them is brain-derived neurotrophic factors, which actually helps you to grow new nerve tissue. And so the aggressive physical activity, the aggressive physical exercise program, I have a suspicion had a significant amount to do with his people getting better. Now, additionally, he did the hormone replacement like we do. He put them on the testosterone and the estradiol and the progesterone and so on, just like we do. And he put them on a wide mix of supplements, everything from acetyl-L-carnitine to magnesium to calcium tartrate to whatever. And I went through and looked at all of the supplements that he used with his people and then put them all together in a packet that we call
Optimal Memory. Yes.
And we have had some of our patients that have used Optimal Memory in addition to the rest of our program and gotten significant improvement. So their memory and their cognitive skills did improve, you know, a great deal. Now, people with overt dementia do not. With them, the best we can hope for is to try to slow or stop the decline. So they're not getting worse. We're not going to make them normal. But people with a mild age-related cognitive decline, we found that the combination of our program, a good exercise program, and the Optimal Memory has been pretty darn effective at improving their cognition.
All right. That's good news. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and we are taking your calls. We have Bob on the line calling in from Seattle. Hi there, Bob. Good morning.
Hi. My question is about the vitamins that I'm taking. A couple of 3 weeks ago, my primary care doctor prescribed metformin to me, and then I started buying and taking a whole bunch of vitamins. True Niagen, methylated B, and Neo4, Equal Q10, Tadalafil, Resveratrol, and all the rest of those kinds of things. And my primary care doctor said, come back in 3 months after I give you the metformin, and we'll test you. And I'm wondering, would it be wiser for me just to go down to LabCorp? Because I'm kind of wondering about if anything has changed, and running my own couple of tests. And if so, which ones would you suggest?
Okay, well, I mean, metformin, the benefit is that it improves your glucose metabolism. You need less insulin to drive the sugars into the cells, so it does tend to lower blood sugars. The downside of it is that it interferes with B vitamin absorption. So if you're going to be on metformin, you need to be on a good mix of B vitamins. So get a... Okay, and because you're not going to absorb them nearly as well on that drug. What tests you want to run, I guess, is open. LabCorp can do any test you want done. You just have to be willing to pay for it. It usually helps to have a physician to interpret the test for you, though, you know, to let you know what it means and what the impact on your health is. But what tests are you looking at getting from LabCorp instead of going back to see your physician?
Well, I don't want to wait to go that long to go back to my physician. And I would mainly just get a test, and I would mainly, instead of an interpretation, I would look at the levels and see if there were any H's in there for high or low. And that would give me a clue if anything is going on. So
what
choose. I don't know. That's kind of what I'm asking. I mean, if you were going to take a good genetic test or two, after taking all this stuff, what would you take?
I mean, if your primary care providers put you on metformin, I'm sure they want to look at your sugar, so your hemoglobin A1C level would be what I would ask for. But 3 months is probably a good time to wait before you repeat that anyways.
Yeah, because the A1C will tell you what your average blood sugar has been over the last 3 to 4 months.
Yeah.
So you don't see big changes in A1C early.
Yeah. I mean, we repeat quarterly labs every 3 months as well. We will do something sooner if we are actively working on something, like we put a new thyroid medication or adjusting a vitamin level or something, but not all the time, or if we think it's an outlier. Yeah. So, you know, if the hormone levels are not quite where they need to be and we've adjusted medication, we'll do an interim lab. But other than that, we also wait for every 3 months before we do quarterly labs.
And the question is, you know, why did you see the doctor in the first place? What was the problem he was treating with the metformin?
Actually, I went to him to see for my ankle, which I have. I do have quite a bit of, I think, inflammation. I went to him for my ankle, which had an inflamed condition. And he gave me an email back and said, I know how interested you are in your health. And your A1C is at 6.0. And therefore, I'll give you a prescription for metformin if you desire it. And I said, yes, I do. So I went down and picked it up and started taking it.
Yeah, okay. So he had prediabetes, and so the ankle condition could be caused because of the high sugar.
Yep, and the high insulin.
And the high insulin, yeah.
So, you know, it sounds like if I was going to be running tests, I'd want to get the B vitamins. I get for B, I get folic acid, I'd get B12, maybe B6. The A1C, those would be the ones I'd be shooting for.
Okay,
I mean, if you really
like
want to do that,
you
could
really
also
worry about.
You could check your fasting glucose and fasting insulin too.
Yeah,
but he'll need help to interpret them.
Yeah, she's right. Your fasting glucose and your fasting insulin. What we try to do with new patients is we evaluate insulin resistance by. We look at your A1C, we look at your fasting sugars, your fasting insulins, but we also then give you 65 grams of sugar. And 30 minutes after you take the sugar load, we check your insulin and your sugar again to see what your peaks are. And that gives us a very good handle on the degree of insulin resistance you've got.
I don't think my primary care doctor would do that. I don't know who would outside of you. I think I will probably be coming to you. Circumstances have allowed me to afford to come to you. But, I mean, I don't know where else I could get a fasting glucose level.
Well, fasting glucose is simple. That's, that is LabCorp will check that for you in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
You just go in having had nothing to eat or drink for 6 hours and tell them you want a fasting sugar and a fasting insulin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I didn't know that. I'll definitely go take him up on that. Just one comment. I found that ChatGPT is amazing. It's very concise. I can put any vitamin or anything in there. It'll come back with an answer that kind of amazes me. So maybe some of your callers that have questions should check that out before calling you, and then they can call in and ambush you.
Why not?
Dr. Mixon enjoys the ambushing.
Oh boy.
All right. Thank you for the call, my friend. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Bob. We're going to take a quick break. We will be back. Time for, we've got Lewis next on the phones. We could probably sneak in one more phone call as well, 206-644-6006.
Unless Lewis, like one of our earlier callers, wants to go through three segments talking about
that's the true. There you go. Well, this is about a BPH in women. We're going to talk about that and see if that's a thing.
BPH in women?
There you go. Yeah, we'll
remarkable.
Find out more. Exactly. Dr. Mixon's eyebrows raised. We'll be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment. You stay right there.
Is it an app?
And I said, hey, pretty lady, won't you give me a sign? I'd give anything to make you mine. I'll be your bitten and be at your beck and call. Yeah, I've never seen anyone looking so fine. Man, I gotta have her, she's a one of a kind. I'm going once, going twice, I'm sold. I'm a lady in the second row. She's an 8, she's a 9, she's a 10, I know. She's got ruby red lips, blonde hair, blue eyes. And I'm about to bid my heart goodbye.
I used to know all the words.
I told you I'd get you guys some upbeat music.
You got some fun.
Oh, the Auctioneer song. Oh, so much fun. All right. Hi there. Good morning. Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Umat here.
That's a great
song. Dr. Mixon. Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
Oh, and we have Lois calling in from West Seattle. Hi there, Lois. Good morning.
Hello, Lois.
Good morning. Hi. Can you hear me?
We hear you wonderfully.
Yes.
Okay. Can we help, young lady?
Well, excuse my voice. Got a voice this morning.
And you know what, Lois? Let me, if I could I have you turn your radio down just a bit while we chat?
Okay.
Thank you. Yes, so much better. Okay, what can we do to help?
You had a couple of calls earlier for men about urinary problems, and they mentioned the letters BPH. What is that? How is that applied to women with the same problem?
Well, it's not. Benign prostatic hypertrophy is what is squishing the urethra, the opening from the bladder, so that the urine can't drain out very well. Women don't have a prostate. Well,
okay. But what about women who, like I have a urinary problem? First of all, I can't, I urinate all the time, and then I can't hold it.
Yes. And that's a more common problem with women, which is urinary frequency and incontinence, in which you don't have sufficient muscle control to stop that urine from leaking out. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's a whole different issue. There are some surgical procedures that can be done. Most older ladies that develop this problem end up with the adult diaper solution, in which something like a TENS that because they don't want to go through the surgery. But there is a surgical procedure in which they can actually go in, make an incision in the front wall of the vagina, isolate the urethra, reach out on either side and grab muscle and tissue and pull it around the urethra and make kind of a snug muscular sheath to hold that urethra and constrict it a bit. And that is sometimes enough of a procedure to give women some bladder control again.
Yeah, you know, it's very common in younger women, especially after childbirth. And a lot of times they start with the basics, which is Kegels exercises, so you kind of make those muscles in the pelvis stronger, and the physical therapist can tell you about it. So, I mean, I don't know how far advanced your problem is. We also
I'm 81 years old, and I've been dealing with this for 10 years or more, 15 years.
Yeah. So but there are specialist physicians called genitourinary physicians in most major hospital systems have them, and they do very good studies and investigations and then determine treatment. There are medications they can give you that would also help. So I would suggest you have your primary care send you to a genitourinary specialist in one of the major hospital systems close to you.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that. I mean, my doctor referred me to one already.
Okay.
I wasn't able to keep the appointment, but I thought maybe there was some medication that my primary care doctor can just order over the phone, or does this have to be with a specialist?
Well, generally, they want to do an evaluation, do an exam, an evaluation, and try to figure out exactly where the problem is.
Right.
So whether it's amenable to a medication is kind of iffy. The medicines don't usually fix it. They sometimes are a help, though. But it's one of those situations you're going to need to have a thorough exam by a physician who's expert in the field.
Point is, I have to just live with it or have the surgery, which can be problematic.
But usually it's not. Normally the procedure is not that complex. It's a surgery that back in my country doctor days, I used to do from time to time. Had very good results with it. So
and no side effects.
Well, I mean, you're sore for a while, and you know, we all, in the younger women, I had to tell them no sex for a month, but I don't think that's going to be a problem for you anyway.
No, that's not going to be a problem for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm wearing diapers and stuff already, and it's it's such a so stressful because a lot of times I don't make it, you know, and it's.
I absolutely understand, and I agree, and that's why I think it's worth getting evaluated. And if they can fix it with an outpatient surgery, you know, where you do the procedure in the morning and you go home in the afternoon, I'd say go for it. If your doctor thinks he can fix it.
Okay. What is the name of the doctor? I mean, what is that?
Genitourinary surgeons.
Genitourinary,
yes.
And that doctor that your primary referred you to may be a good start, since you weren't able to keep that appointment, maybe.
Yeah.
Genitourinary.
All right.
Is that what, all right.
Okay, well, that's a help. I'll get on that.
Okay, thank you, Lois.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the call. Bye-bye, hon.
All right. Wow. Okay. Our time is up. We have a minute left of our show. This is, of course, Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. And we invite you to come in. We have that free health analysis appointment. Come in. Like Dr. Mixon says, if you don't measure, you don't know. And that's what we do at Longevity. Find out what life is doing to you and what you could be at risk for. Two simple tests, the blood test and the InBody test. Here is that number to call in, 1-866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Or you can go on our website, lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com, and sign up for that free health analysis appointment. Take a look at our schedule. And we know you're busy, and you know, but you know what? We have Saturday appointments. We also have Monday through Friday at Kirkland, Tacoma, and Linwood. There must be a time that will work for you. Just give us a call. Have a great rest of your week. I will be off next weekend. Mark Holland will fill in with me, or for me. Dr. Mixon will be back, and Dr. Umat too. Have a great rest of your week.